Amen. Thank you, Gideon and Abigail. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord. I know everybody's already told Abigail about the little orchestra that was up here just a few Sundays ago, and wasn't that a blessing? I was, and then not only that, that same weekend we had our school program, and that was just unbelievable. The bells, all the different things that went on, the singing and the instruments and a little band that played, and elementary students, Abigail, were playing instruments, and it was just amazing. And so much of that started with Abigail and started with her teaching music. Actually, the Albericos started out with a little, I think, the rhythm blocks or something like that. Some kids learned rhythm. I don't know if you did any of that or not, but just an amazing thing to watch them growing up and now playing in church. And this has been just a great season, really, for the music and all the instruments. And I'm excited about it. And if you have instruments, again, we want to remind you, come on Sunday night and start practicing and playing. God can use you to be a blessing. If it doesn't bless anybody else, it blesses me. I love it, and it's just such a good thing and a good way to be used. Well, take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes 7, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, and a familiar verse, one that perhaps you've seen before, and certainly one that has been used, I'm sure, many New Year's Eve services and toward the end of the year. But the Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. But I want to key on the first part of verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Father, I pray that you will bless this time. Thank you for the beautiful music. God, just every phase of the music ministry has been a blessing to my heart. I hope it's prepared us for the message. Lord, I pray that our hearts are ready and open to hear from your word. And I pray that we would just be challenged tonight and that we would determine that there's going to be things different in our lives, that we're going to listen, we're going to do what you want us to do as a result of tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. It's the last Sunday of 2009. That sounds so strange. It really does. It doesn't seem that long ago that it was, you know, the Y2K, and everybody was panicking and saving up water and canned goods and everything else because the end was going to happen. It was going to be total chaos. But this is the last Sunday of 2009. I preached the first message of 2009 was called First Things First, and that was preached on January 4th, I believe, of this year. And it was called First Things First, and talked about getting our priorities right and putting first things first. And of course, God is first, godliness, goals, and giving. How many of you remember that message? Nobody, I'm sure. Okay. Keith? Really? Thank you, Keith. I'll give you that. Well, anyway. No, Gabby wasn't one of the points. They were all G, but anyway. It's funny, you look back and then you think, wow, a whole year has passed. A whole year. And, I think about that. Did you put God first in 2009? Did you put a priority on godliness and living right? How about goals? Did you set some godly, right goals for 2010? Some people call them resolutions, whatever, but did you set some goals? Did you, for example, a goal would be reading through your Bible. Praying every day, going soul winning. I mean, did you set some goals in 2009? And giving, did you give? I mean, not just tithe, did you give? Did you give every opportunity you had to give? And talked about that be 1 year ago this coming Sunday and preached on that and certainly think about that. And here we are at the last Sunday service. We'll have, of course, church on Wednesday night, but the last Sunday service of 2009. And I want to talk to you now. We talked about first things first nearly a year ago, but tonight we want to talk about better is the end. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And all you have to do is kind of think about it a little bit, and we recognize that what the Bible's talking about. And certainly there are a lot of things in the beginnings that we like, a lot of things that are good. But always, the Bible says, it's better in the end. It is the most important thing at the end of the thing than it is at the beginning of the thing. You think about the start of a game. And the start of a game really doesn't mean much compared to the end of a game. You might start the game, and let's say it's basketball, and have a 10-point lead or maybe a 15-point lead. And, you know, starting out and start out real well and then fall on your face. And you know, the beginning means nothing. In fact, whoever made the first basket doesn't even matter when you compare it to the end of the game. Boy, we started out strong. Yeah, but how'd you finish? You know, boy, we had the lead there. But yeah, but who won the game? It's like the start of a race. And certainly the start of a race is important, but what's the most important? Well, the end. I mean, that, when's a trophy given out? When's the rewards given out? It's always going to be at the end. And I was thinking about music lessons. Boy, those beginnings are scary. Seriously, we have some young people that are beginning to practice different instruments, and they'll play in the teen room, and I'll be walking down the office hallway there, and I'll hear strange noises coming from the teen room sometimes. And sometimes it's a scary thing. But you have to understand that one day they're going to be playing in church, and it's not going to be quite so squeaky. One of these days they're going to play in church, and they're going to play, and it's going to bless our hearts. You know, Kendall Engel, he started out playing the piano one day, and he scared his parents, I'm sure. I'm sure he scared the neighbors a little bit, too. But a little while ago, I mean, if that didn't bless your heart during the offertory, I'm telling you, something's wrong with you. And see, better is the end. Now, beginnings, it's exciting. And it's exciting when people start playing an instrument. It's exciting at the start of a game, and everybody's but the end. The end is what really matters. And the end is the best thing. The end is, again, it is where we find out how we did, and we don't hear all about what we're going to do. Amen? Well, bless God, I'm going off to college, and I'm going to do this. Great, that's wonderful. You know, we hear all those things. And, I've got all these plans, and I've got this down, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But don't tell me, I mean, it's fine to have some goals, and it's fine to be excited about what you're going to do, but tell me how you did 4 years later, or in some cases five, a few, six. But tell us about it, how you did. You know, the most important time is not when you stand to register for college, it's when you cross the platform and get that diploma. I mean, that's what you're looking forward to. That's what you're excited about. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And so, as I think about this, I think about Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And so, if you will have the right kind of beginning, and certainly this has been talked about many times before, in the beginning, God, start your beginnings with God. We have to have beginnings, and 2010 will be a beginning. And I trust that you will decide that right in the very beginning, you're going to start with God. You're going to start with God's plan for your life. You're going to start with, well, you say, I don't know God's will. You know God wants you to read His Word. You know God wants you to pray. You know God wants you to be in church. You know God wants you to tithe. I mean, there are so many things that we know clearly that God wants us to do. In the beginning, God, start 2010 with a right relationship with God. In fact, start right with God. Start with your heart right with God in the beginning of 2000. In fact, go ahead and start today. Go ahead and start tomorrow morning. Go ahead and start every day. I mean, really, everything. Because, listen, the right beginning will determine the end. What's our goal? The end. What are we looking forward to? The end. What is everything lead up to? What is the better thing according to God? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So start the beginning right, and sure enough, that end is going to be good. That end is going to be what it's supposed to be. That end is going to be a blessing. Start all your beginnings with God. At the beginning of the day, the beginning of the week, start them with God. And then look at Philippians 1, verse 6, one of my favorite verses. And it is a promise of God. Philippians 1 and verse 6, you start with God, you begin with God. In Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will work in your life. Who will? God will. Now, I began with God, and now God is going to work in my life. The Bible says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are His workmanship. He's working on us. Let Him work. Don't fight Him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Quenching Him is to say, no, I don't want to hear that when He convicts us. Let him work. He which began a work, being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He's going to do the work. Amen. Start with God and let God work in your life to complete what you began. The truth of the matter is, in our lives as Christians, in and of ourselves, we're going to fail. We need God. We need John 15. We need to abide in Him. We need Him to help us, and we need Him to do the work in us. But again, if we're rebellious, if we're stiff-necked, if we're too proud for God, then He's not able, we don't let Him work in our lives. Begin with God and let God work in your life. And then you can say, better is the end. Honestly, everybody in this room would like to say, I'd like at the end of my life to say, boy, praise God, this was great. I'd like to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd like to hear, that I did what I could do and that I lived my life the way that I should have lived it. Everybody, I think if we went around this room, we'd all say, yes, I would like that to be the end. It can be the end if you'll start with the Lord, put Him first, and let Him work in your life, and then better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. No question about that. You know, it doesn't matter how exciting the beginning is. Let's see a better end. Let's see the result that should be the result of a Christian, a saved person who's trusted Christ, who has let God work in their life. I mean, really, the sky's the limit, folks. Anything can happen with you and I. Anything, I mean, God can use us in so many great ways. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I mean, it's wonderful when I did the study on Berean Baptist Church and the start of the church. And it was exciting to look at all the past and look at some, and I've got a lot of pictures, and to look back at some of those things. And those were exciting days when this church started. But better is the end. Better is the end when we can look and say, look what God did through us. Look what God did in the 40s and in the 50s and in the 60s and in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And now in 2000 through 2009, can we say that, boy, God's done some great things. What about in the end? I mean, someday we'll all gather together and guess what? We'll stand before Jesus Christ. Hey, what did Berean Baptist Church do? What did we do during all that time? Well, it had a great beginning. What a wonderful beginning. And the testimony was so solid. You know, but what do we do? Because it'll be reflected in the end. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Let's see a better end. You know, it doesn't matter how much you do in between if you quit toward the end. It doesn't matter how much you do at the beginning and the in-between and how wonderful if you give up and quit. You know, it's amazing how some folks get get older and they decide, there's just nothing more I can do. There's so much you can do. I enjoyed we had the widows and widowers banquet and enjoyed again talking to the dear folks and enjoying testimonies and all of that. But one of the things I said, especially to those dear ladies, is, hey, I know that within that group right there, and I said, you folks right here are many that pray for me and pray faithfully for me. And I appreciate that so much. You know, that's saying, you know what, I'm still looking forward to that end. I'm still serving God. I'm still busy with God. I'm still doing something. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And, let's keep going. It's amazing how folks will, look at me. Aren't I something? Talk about what you did at the end. You know, it's so easy to say, well, you know, I'm going to take this bus route and I'm going to do great things. That's wonderful to have that goal. But I want to see when you've been on a bus route as long as the Baileys. I want to see when we go soul winning and people say, well, I remember 20 years ago when they used to pick me up like Brother Jenkins, you know. I mean, honestly, it's one thing to look at the beginning and you just get started and that's a great thing. But how about 40 years later? How you doing then? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I think about, go to 1 Kings 20 and verse 11. I will get to the message in a minute. 1 Kings 20 and verse 11. I like this. Ben-Hadad, he comes in and tells Ahab, you know, we are going to whoop you. Look what he says. Verse 11, the king, and look, the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Ben-Hadad says, you know, we're going to conquer you. We're going to whoop you. And he describes how he's going to stomp him in the ground. And all Ahab could do is listen. And by the way, it looked like they were going to whip him. It really looked like Ahab was in trouble. But I like what he said. He said, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. In other words, hey, if you're just preparing for battle, don't brag. It's not time to brag right now. Because I got news for you. Let's see how you do when you're ending the battle. Let's see how you do at the end of the thing. Let's see how it goes at the end. And sure enough, Ben-Hadad was defeated. His boast was an idle boast. But that was in the beginning. The battle had to be fought. And it was. And he lost. You know, don't tell about all that you're going to do. Do it. Do it. And start with God in the beginning. And let God work in the beginning. And let God work throughout the time. And come and see me after 20, 25, 30 years. Come and see me after you graduated from college. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, a sophomore in college, that seems to be the year. They got it all figured out now. Well, I understand the scheduling. I understand the work schedule. I understand all the different things they want in class. Got it all figured out. Great. That's wonderful. Now, do your best. Amen. Just keep doing your best. And one of these days, you keep doing your best, and you're going to cross the platform, and you're going to get your diploma, and then you're going to start doing what God called you to do. And then you can start talking about looking forward to many years from now and seeing what all God used you to do. And boy, you'll have a lot to talk about there in the end. You'll have lots of pictures because your wife will keep them all in the photo albums that we talked about this morning. And you'll have all kinds of great memories of all the things. And you'll look back and say, wow. Wow, it is better in the end. It really is. It's wonderful to look back and see how God was able to use us. What a great thing that is. You took a Sunday school class. Boy, I'm going to tear it up. Amen. But let me see you after you've taught Sunday school for 30 years. Amen. You know, I'm gonna get my CDL and drive a bus, and that's great, and we need all of them we can get. But let's talk to you after you've driven a bus for a long time. It's so easy to sit back and look at everybody else, and we're just starting out, and maybe criticize somebody else and that. But let me see how you do. Let me see how you do. You know, after 20 some years, better is the end because you can find out. You can see and find out how you did and not hear all about what you're going to do. You can look at it and you have something to measure. In the beginning, God will perform it, and better is the end. And I've just kind of written some things down that I want to apply that to in our lives to think about. Again, this last Sunday service in 2009, and certainly my goal is the end. The end of whatever. Maybe you have a goal for the end of a week. Maybe you have a goal for a year, like reading through your Bible in a year. Maybe you have a goal for a class. If you're in school and you have a goal that, hey, I'm gonna set this goal for this class, and this is gonna be my goal. But at any rate, you have a start and you have a beginning, and it ought to be on your knees. And it ought to be with a God that says, that God is for this thing, whatever it is. By the way, reading through your Bible in a year, He's for it, I guarantee. I'm going to spend a certain amount of time every day in prayer. God's for that. Amen. I'm going to start tithing and giving. God's for that. In the beginning, start it out, whatever that goal is. Maybe you have a goal for giving in 2010. You need to decide that. And in the beginning, start out on your knees. God, help me to be able to give this. There's nothing more fun than faith promise, honestly. It is the most exciting thing, and I believe that. I've done it for many, many years now. There's nothing more exciting than saying, you know, writing that number down. Some of you don't want to write it down, and that's fine. You don't have to give it to us, but you won't even write it down for yourself. You know why? You're terrified, I think. Honestly, I got it in the back of my head. Yeah, because in the back of your head, you can change it. I don't know how many times I've tried to change my faith promise. Honestly. Over the years, there have been many times. Times get tough. But then I always go back and I think, but it's faith. And I started it on my knees asking God what I should give. And if I started it on my knees asking God what I should give, then I know that if He told me what to give, which He did, that He's going to provide. And I've done all the things, you know, try to finagle. Well, God, you didn't know this was going to happen. You know, we didn't know the economy was going to turn. Faith promise is exactly what it says. It's faith. Yeah, but when I pledged that, when you pledged it, hopefully God told you what to do. Do you suppose He knew who would be the governor? And the president, do you suppose God knew? Do you suppose God knew what all the economy was going to do? I've tried. I've talked to God several times. It's hilarious, and I assume everybody else goes through this. I don't know. Well, Lord, you know times are tough, and you know this is, you know, and God, you know that pledge, that was... Well, I was excited, God, and you know, I just got kind of caught up in the thing, and... Oh, those missionaries that we had, you know, I was really burdened. And you try to kind of, but ultimately, you write out that check anyway. Amen. Yeah, by faith. Because that's what it was. And then God provides. It's fun. It's not always fun in the midst, but it's fun when? At the end. It's exciting at the end. It's exciting at the end when you say, you know, it happened. It's exciting at the end when we have testimony time. Somebody says, I was able to keep my faith promise all year long. Yeah, you don't have to tell how much. It doesn't matter. That's not anybody's business. But it's exciting to hear someone say, I did it all year long. And we've come to the end, and I did it. And we've come to the end, and I read through my Bible. I did it. We've come to the end, and I've prayed like I told God I was going to pray. And we come to the end. I've tithed all year long. Boy, that's exciting. But you know what? If you set no goals, and if you don't start in the beginning saying, God, what should I do? How do you want me to begin 2010? Then you're looking for a pretty much an end that'll just be kind of boring and drab. Whether it's the beginning of a year, whether it's the beginning of a day, whatever your goals might be, whatever they might be, I'm telling you that in the end, it's better than in the beginning. Always is. And let's apply that to some things. How about our salvation? You know, how about our salvation? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You know, think about our salvation. I'll be honest with you. I'm still real excited about the time I was 17. Now, I'm excited about when I was 17 for a lot of reasons. One of which, I could move and not hurt. But to be honest with you, getting saved was a great thing to me, and I still talk about it. I think sometimes people, oh, there's a pastor telling his salvation story again. Well, I'm humor me, because I love it. And I love telling it, and I love to talk about it, and I love pondering it. But I don't think it even compares to the end of my salvation. What are you talking about? I'm talking about streets of gold. I'm talking about pearly gates. I'm talking about a mansion in heaven. I'm talking about the presence of Jesus Christ, my Savior. I'm talking about sinless. I mean, no temptation, no nothing bad at all. I know we can't even, our minds can't even fathom that, but I'm just saying, better is the end of my salvation than the beginning thereof. And the beginning is great, and the whole life has been wonderful, but better is the end. Better is the end. And our salvation's nearer and getting nearer every day. Dale Stewart and I were talking this morning before we pray every Sunday morning before the service, and we were talking, and he told me what he's doing is on his birthday he goes back a year. So we decided he'll probably die when he's 20. But it doesn't work that way, folks. And we know that, and he knows that. It's appointed that a man wants to die. Oh, but better is the end. Better is the end. You've heard me say this many times. My first pastorate in Bern, Indiana, visiting the nursing home, and a sweet little lady, I was told by a relative, I believe it was, that could you please visit Grandma? She's really, she's failing fast. Her health is not good, and I think you could be an encouragement. And I remember going in there, and I was thinking, wow, I need to get some encouraging scripture and something to really uplift her and everything. And I walk in, and she's just beaming. And I started talking to her, and she said, oh, she said, I said something, I hear that your health is not good. She goes, not good? Why, my health is going to get me closer to my Savior. I'm thinking, now how in the world am I supposed to respond to that? That woman, I mean, honestly, she got me fired up about heaven. I came to encourage her. She encouraged me because she was close to the end. She was so close to the end. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You know, as you think of your salvation, if you'll obviously in the beginning, God, you start with that. You start there. And then let Him work in your life. See, why so many Christians are miserable today is you're not growing in the Lord. So many Christians just, we reach a place in our Christian life where we just kind of arrive. It's like, okay, I'm going to park here. Don't park there. Amen. Keep the machine in drive and just keep going and keep growing and keep being what God wants you to be, and let Him be the one that works as you are His workmanship. And your salvation, it's just going to be more and more precious to you. Salvation is certainly an area where this is true. A year. Number two is a year. You know, did you set goals in 2009 and now you're at the end and you say, praise God. Okay, we had a little while ago, people raised their hand, they read through their Bible in a year. Praise God. I mean, that's wonderful. And you know what? You liked being able to raise your hand. I hope it wasn't, you know, pride or anything like that. I think it was rejoicing. How many of you read through your Bible this year? It's the first time you've ever read through your Bible. Anybody? First time? I know we had a bunch of them last year. All right. So how many of you, it's your second time? Second time through. Anybody? I can't tell. All right. How about third time? How about you don't know how many times? All right. That would be some. How many of you read through your Bible twice in a year? Anybody do that? We had some. There's one. Jim. Is that Jim? Was that you, Jim? All right. A couple folks, perhaps. I know we've talked about this before. You know, these are goals. What kind of goals did you set? My wife, I love what she does in her Sunday school class. She has the girls fill out where they want to be spiritually throughout the year. Is it throughout the year or at the end of the year? At the end of the year. And they write it down on some paper and put it in an envelope, and they give that to her. She keeps those all year long. And this morning, she gave them back to the girls. And they could open it up and they could look and read what they said 1 year ago, and they can measure where they are. Better is the end. It should be a better thing. I mean, if you start with God, God, what do you want me to do? God, how do you want me to live? God, what do you want me to change? You start there with God and then let God work in your life. You should be able to say at the end of the year, wow, it's great. It's a great ending to the year. And I'd encourage you to do that for 2010. I would encourage you to find some areas of your life where you know you need to grow. and you know that God's been dealing with you. And folks, don't be afraid of this altar. Don't be afraid of this altar. Don't think that, if I go to the altar, everybody's watching me. I hope everybody's praying for you. I hope nobody's watching you just to watch you. I hope they're praying for you to pray for you. Oh, I think we should all want people to set goals and get that right beginning and let God work. And in the end of whatever that goal, the victory of the goal being set. We ought to certainly agree that a year better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Our salvation certainly better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. How about a baby? Oh, everybody loves a baby, don't they? Yeah. Yeah, everybody loves a baby. And the beginning is wonderful. Kind of. Till they cry in the middle of the night. Amen? Right? But that's okay because I know many husbands get up and take care of the child. Right? But the beginning's exciting, isn't it? I mean, having a baby, that's a wonderful thing. But the key is, again, start with the Lord. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of this little baby's life, God's first. The Bible says in Psalm 45:16 that we are to make our children princes. Amen? Starting out in the beginning and saying, God, this child, this is your child, God. I give this child to you. I will do all I can to rear this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But God, this is your child. That's in the beginning. And the Bible says, train up a child. Train them up. You know, that's when they're a little baby and you train up the child in the way they should go. Train them up. You know, but again, you're starting with God. You're letting God work in their life. He will perform it. And you look for that end. That end. You get excited about that end of God working in someone's life. I always get frustrated with people in the middle that get frustrated. You know? And people that maybe give up on somebody. How sad. I am so glad that my God didn't give up on me, His child. And He doesn't give up on us. He says, how shall I give thee up? You know, in that middle, it's a tough time. Can be a tough time. But you don't give up. Somebody says, oh, you know, old so-and-so, look at them. Boy, they're wicked and vile. It's not over. It's not over. Amen? You know, I think about that the father of the prodigal, and I think about him standing there at the door, and I think he looked out the window often. And I think he was waiting often. And the son got right with God. Now, I don't know how many church members in the midst of all that criticized that boy. But when that boy got right with God and became a deacon in the church and a Sunday school teacher and a bus captain and everything else, I guess their gossip probably ended up proving them wrong, didn't it? Because it's not the end. You know, honestly, we need to get to the end. Amen? And give people the opportunity to get to the end. That's why, you know, a new convert, why are we so hard on them? You know, better is the end, the Bible says. Better is the end of a thing. Let them grow. Well, you know, so-and-so, they said they got saved, but I haven't seen anything yet. Well, who makes you the judge? You know, let's the end isn't here yet. Let's let the end get here. Amen. Amen. You know, boy, it's an exciting thought. Better is the end. Do you understand? At the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be shocked. We really are. We're going to think, oh, there's so and so. I'm sure they're going to get all kinds of rewards. And again, we have to be careful because we won't be sinful then. But we'll be amazed at people that get awards that, oh, wow, last I saw them, they were, yeah, give them some time. Amen? Because better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I get frustrated when people are hard on our kids. Amen? You know? Oh, that kid, they'll never amount to anything. You know, some of the most wicked kids ended up being some of the greatest Christian adults. I'm talking about kids. I'm talking about little kids that are wild kids, that are strange kids, that drive us nuts sometimes. I really enjoyed a couple of God Save America conferences, and I sat down with some of the preachers, and preachers of large churches doing great works, and listening to them tell their stories about how much trouble they got into when they went to either high school or when they went off to college. Now you guys in high school, that doesn't make it all right. But I'm just saying, you know, you say, I guarantee there were people that said, oh, look at those, they'll never amount to anything. Yeah, well, the end isn't here yet. The end isn't here yet. Oh, you look at that little baby and you say, wow, what a great beginning. Well, begin on your knees before God for that little child. And then let God work in their lives and do everything you can to teach them right and train them up the way they should go. And just hang in there. Amen? There's people all over. There's folks here with grandchildren that are not right. There's folks with children that aren't right. There's people with brothers and sisters and loved ones. Just hang in there. You know, it's our job to restore people. Amen? And restoration is done with love. I'll tell you this, gossip never restores anybody. Never has, never will. It's out of hell, so it can't. Amen. Number four is marriage. I have never, now I know there are these, but I've never experienced a marriage that was bad in the beginning. They just goo-goo eye each other. You know, it's like they, you know, we do the rehearsal and everything and they're terrified and they're listening to every word I say. Then they get up here and start gazing into each other's eyes and it's over. Okay, you're supposed to say your vows now. Look this way. And they're just, and it just always begins that way. It always has anyway. I can't think of any time it hasn't. But better is the end. Better is the end. Again, if in the beginning you put God in your marriage and you let God have your marriage and you obey God in your marriage, you know, honestly, people are supposed to love each other more at the end than they did in the beginning. I know that's hard for some of you to believe. It just goes on and on and on. That's sad. Love your wife more now. Okay, God told you, God commanded us, husbands, love your wives. That's a command. And he had to command it because we're idiots. But I don't necessarily feel like I have to be commanded anymore to do it. I'm not saying the command's not there, but I do love my wife, and I put her first, and she's more important than I am. And I honestly, I don't know what I would do without my wife. So I protect her, I cherish her, I love her, I take care of her. I want her happy, I want her pleased, I want everything, you know, roll out the red carpet, whatever I have to do, because she cooks for me. I mean, she takes care of me. She is, you know, and again, it should be better in the end. It's interesting how the Bible says submitting yourselves one to another. Because a typical male caveman says, woman, submit. You have no sense. By the way, if you have to tell her to submit, you're not loving her. If you have to command it, you're really not loving her like you should. Submitting yourselves one, we're supposed to submit to each other. Not just husbands and wives, but even everybody. We're supposed to submit. That is the really the essence of love, submission. Submitting yourselves one to another. And but again, the vows are given in the beginning so that there is the right end. Amen? That's why you say vows. That's what it's all about. I counsel these young couples and it's like, oh, he knows. She knows. They know that I'll always be there. And they don't get it. They don't understand. Hey, you know what? It's not always going to be fun. For better, for worse. Oh, that's not going to happen. There won't ever be worse. Rich or poor. Oh, we're going to live on love. You know, I hear all those things. You might have said that and now living on love's not, it's kind of tough, isn't it? Yeah, go to the banker and say, oh, I love my wife. Can I get out of my mortgage? No. But see, those vows are to guarantee that wonderful ending. Amen. Amen. Yeah. God will perform if we start with God and we let God work in our marriage. If we let God work in that, it's going to be better in the end. I love to watch elderly folks holding hands. You know, I hope people enjoy watching my wife and I as elderly folks holding hands. I mean, we go for a walk and we hold hands. And we used to see older folks and we used to say, isn't that cute? And now we walk and people say, oh, look, isn't that cute? Kind of hurts me a little bit. But honestly, it should be that way in the end. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And as exciting and as wonderful as our marriage, that day, that first day, the beginning of our lives together, as great as that was, it keeps getting better and better. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it should be for you. And then how about a job? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. I'll never forget my dad's retirement party from RCA. And I remember all the guys getting up and talking about Dad's 30 years, I believe, of service. And talking about, oh yes, he did this and he did this. And while he was here, he did this. And I watched him year after year after year after year. And I saw my dad. My dad was a very quiet person. He didn't say really anything. He was very very much an introvert. But he just sat there and he smiled. And really he beamed the whole time. Because they recollected the years that he had worked on that job. You know, you just start out a job and, wow, I'm ready to go. But work it for 25, 30 years. Stay with it for 25, 30 years. And by the way, that is the same as serving God. It's the same thing. You know, better is the end. When we can look back and we can say, here's what you did. When you can look back and you can say, as the Baileys, hey, we've been on this bus every Sunday, unless we were out of town, we were on a bus. And we brought little kids, and now they're little kids or teenagers, and they're adults, and they're older adults, and the adults have kids, and they're bringing some of them. Amen. Service. Job was 5, service is 6. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Well, tell me what you did 20 years from now. How you stuck with it. How you taught when you didn't feel good. How you taught when there was only 2 people in the class. How you taught and how you gave the same passion for 2 that you do for 20. Amen. Tell me how the kids turned out. Tell me how wonderful it is to see them serving God. Why? Because better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. How many start out and never finish anything? How many start out, whoa, I'm ready to go. I often tell of my freshman year down at college and first preacher boy class, and I had no clue. I mean, I was new convert and new to college and new to Christianity, new to Baptist. I wore a clip-on tie. I was so new. I had no clue, honestly, of any of that. And I remember my freshman year, we went into the preacher boys class, and I didn't know what to expect or anything about it, but I knew, you know, I knew I loved my preacher, and I knew how he preached, and we gave testimonies, and this guy stood up, and I mean, he had the voice. It's like I call Brother Jim Collins. I call him the voice, beloved. But this guy, he had this voice that was a preaching machine voice. Bless God, my name is such and such, and my daddy's a preacher, and God's called me to preach, and bless God, I'm going to get out there and tear it up. Amen. I thought, man, that guy, I'd go hear him preach. And then I said, hi, I'm Doug Rogers. You know, I mean, I've always kind of thought it'd be nice to have one of those bless God preaching voices. But I was in awe at this guy. And he's talking about, you know, he's talking about all the things. Well, you know, Daddy was a pastor, and I did this for our teen group, and bless God, I did. And he's on, this kid's, what, 18, 19 years old? And I'm thinking, wow, he's going to do great things for God. Never forget, first week, he, literally, the guy quit school because he found out he had to wear a tie every day. I thought, bless God, I can clip my tie on every day. And I did. I clipped my tie on every day and kept going and finished college. It's not in the beginning that you have anything to talk about. It's at the end. It's at the end. And then the last thing is decisions. You know, the area of decisions. When God speaks to your heart, make the decision. It's like the song the blues just sang. You know, when God is dealing with your heart, make the decision. He's there. He's there. He's going to take care of you. He'll see you through. Come on, folks. We know when God's speaking to our heart. We know. You know, how many folks have been all excited about a decision? Let's talk about camp. Let's talk about a youth conference. Okay, you got up here and you stood. You're so excited about, here's what God told me to do. And that's the beginning. And if you'd have just let God work in your life, if you'd have just let Him perform that thing in your life. But how sad. So many times we say, well, you know, I was caught up in the emotions of the service. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. God did tell you to do that. Come on, everybody here, we've all talked God out of things, right? We've all, you know, we've all justified, well, you know, I was going through an emotional time and I didn't really mean it, and well, you know, I'm gonna go do this instead or that instead. And no, listen to me. I'm telling you, that decision, camp, conference, altar call, those decisions are decisions God told you to do. You're not going to, look folks, we're not going to get up in front of a bunch of people and testify when we're terrified anyway about it and say, this is what God wants me to do. We're not going to just make all that up, I don't think. I mean, somebody might. But I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, that is what God wanted you to do. Now, why aren't you doing it? Now, why aren't you keeping that decision? Because better is the end. Let's hear what happened since you kept that decision. I can tell you the decision in the back of the bus after the basketball game, coaching my first basketball team as a 19-year-old. And in the back of the bus, God spoke to me about being a preacher. And I can tell you, up till now anyway, I've done what He said to do. Someday I'm going to stand before Him, and I look forward to that end. Because I thank Him over and over again for that day in the back of that bus when He called me to preach. And I knew He called me to preach. Hey, well, preacher, have you ever tried to go back on it? Oh, a couple times I've gone back and said, now, you know, maybe I was a little bit emotional. But no. God made that call. And I've tried to let Him work in my life since that time. And I look forward to the end of that. Now, you've made decisions. You've made many decisions. 2009, you've made decisions. God has spoken to your heart. You've made decisions. You've made decisions that are going to carry over into 2010. Hey, keep going for the things that God told you to do. Whether it's faith promise, whether it's the area of giving, whether it's an area of your life, listening to the wrong things or the right things or whatever it might be. Whatever God has dealt with us about, we need to carry it through, because better is the end. And then you look back and say, wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. Come on. I mean, honestly, I love to talk about how God delivered me from foul language. I love to talk about that. I am so glad that He did that, because it'd be inconvenient for a pastor to cuss. First time I preached, I spoke to our teenagers, and I wept the night before because I knew I was going to cuss. Because that was my language. That's all I knew. That was it. And I knew that I was going to stand up there and I was going to get excited and I was going to talk about something and eventually I would say blankety blank. And the pastor would kick me out of the church, out of the city, and out of the county, probably out of the state. And I begged God. I wept to God. I said, please, God, take this away. Please take it away. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know what? That was a decision, and God did it. And God will do it in your life. You make the decision. You step out. You start the beginning with God. You let God perform whatever He wants to perform in your life. And I promise you this, in the end, you're going to say, praise God. I am so glad I did what God told me to do. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. No one's talking, please, for a couple of minutes. How many tonight would say, preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven. Never trusted Christ as Savior. I'm not sure of my salvation. Would you raise your hand if you'd say, please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. I am not sure. I'm not sure that I'm saved. How many Christians tonight would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart about something. I am saved. I've trusted Christ. But God is speaking to my heart about something in my life. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. As a Christian, God's speaking to my heart. And Father, I do pray that You will help us to realize that the end is so exciting. And Lord, that we need to just keep going. We need to keep doing right. We need to make our decisions based on Your Holy Spirit's leading. And then we need to keep going for You. And Lord, we'll have wonderful, wonderful endings to jobs, to service, to a year, to a day, to a week, to whatever the challenge might be in our lives. Let us get excited about the end and keep going till that time comes. And bless, Lord, the decisions that are made tonight. I pray in Jesus' name.